passages before we go to prayer, then that will be when the young people will go. But I want them to hear these verses, and then when they, those will be ages 5 to 8, and then when they get home, they're going to be have the opportunity to discuss with you what you have heard, and then all those who are 8 and above will, well, they're going to be in on it. You with me now in Ephesians chapter 6? Beginning at the first verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now come, go with me over to Colossians, please. Chapter 3. And I'm going to purposely read from verse 18 down to verse 20. Colossians 3. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well, we need to pray. Now, while we bow in prayer, I'm going to ask the young people to slip out. They're going to go back here to meet with Mr. Stacks, to go right where he is, and you'll follow him out to the time and the Word. And Mrs. Sprunger is going to be with you this morning to instruct you in the Word and the ways of God. While they're doing that, I want you to pray with me, please. Bow our heads. We come again, our Father, to give you thanks. Thanks that your beloved Son, whom you were and are well pleased, that he was obedient to death itself. Obedient because of the great love, the majestic and wonderful and righteous love that he had for us, we who did not deserve that love. And Father, we come to you confessing and acknowledging our rebel hearts that we've not always obeyed. We have not obeyed as when we were children in our homes. And as adults, we've been guilty of disobedience. Forgive us, Father. Some of us this past week, we've been guilty of disobedience. Our rebel heart has clenched its fist. Show us, Father, how to be obedient. And we're asking now that as we look clearly and square on with what the responsibility is for children, that you will show us exactly what obedience is and how our homes need to be changed because of what we understand, what your Spirit teaches us. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Got three situations for you. Listen now. Catch these. See if you can pick something out of the three of them that's right and something that's not right. Tim, I want you to take out the garbage, please. Do I have to? I want to go somewhere else. Jane, you do your homework before you go to Allison's this evening. She doesn't. She cleans up her room instead. Carol, we want you to go with us to see your grandmother this Saturday. But Mom, Joe asked me to go to the movies with him this week. Well, your grandmother, we need to really go together to see your grandmother. So you're going to have to call Joe and explain to him the circumstances. Okay. I'll do that, and I guess we can go to the movies another time. Well, what you've heard are three responses. I hope you were able to sort things out and see which one would be acceptable and which one wouldn't be acceptable. You will notice in our passage before us that children are to have a home environment where husbands will love their wives and wives will submit to their husbands. I purposely read Ephesians so that you would see the lead-in to children obey your parents. This is the kind of an environment that children are to have if they are going to be able to fulfill their responsibilities adequately, properly, before God. God expects that of us adults. He expects us, and I should explain, what do I mean by love? Husbands, love your wives. I mean sacrificial love. This is the role, this is the responsibility of the servant leader, the husband, who is the head of the home. He's the final authority. And he exercises that authority by being a true servant. Authorities lay down their lives. That's the way it's supposed to be. Authorities that lay down their lives for others. Husbands, are you laying down your lives for your wives? Are you living out what sacrificial love calls you to do? Does your wife see this kind of love? Does she know it? If you could be so bold, you may want to ask her sometime. Honey, does some sacrificial love come through at all? What do I mean when I say that the wife is to submit to her husband? By submission, I mean acceptance of your husband's authority. I mean supporting, encouraging, helping him as your servant leader. Are you making it evident to him that you are his helper and that he is the final authority? Is that coming through? Are you submissive to the Lord? Fall back, answer that question, come forward, then back again to the question, does my husband know, does he see, is he experiencing my submission to him? Ladies, could you be so brave as to ask your husband, honey, do you know that I'm following your leadership and I'm seeking to be submissive to you and that I want to support you and encourage you and help you in any way that I can? Is that coming through? Now, you may need to go away for a weekend and get all that straight and take care of it. But I have to say that before I can go into this. Now we're ready. Children need this kind of home. They need this kind of home because of the world in which they live, the kind of world in which they live. Now, when I say world, let me stop and qualify or explain and define it. When I say world, I'm referring to the value system which currently exists, which is untouched by God's Word. Now, there is some shift in movement from generation to generation as to what forms and fashion that value system takes. So the world isn't something that just suddenly came about in 1965 when the Beatles came to America and everything fell apart. That's the way traditionalists like to see their world and their life in America. And things, some of the more naive would think, well, before that, this worldliness was much more narrowly, or there weren't as many things that really tempted us. The world always exists in every generation. And its value system is always adorned in such a way as to be subtle, but ultimately killing, in effect. The world system, its values, untouched by God's Word. Now, having said that, I want to remind you as parents that our children are living in a world that's untouched by God's Word in many places, and increasingly so. So we, as parents then, have to be alert to the pressures that are on our children and will be upon them. But not only that, we have to be aware of the fact that children need this kind of home where husbands love their wives and wives submit to their husbands, not only because of the culture, the world system, the unbelief value system that exists. I didn't get the chance to read it. It thought occurred to me that the opinion op-ed page, the perspective section of the morning's paper, has got a front section, inside section on values. So read that with your biblical spectacles on and see what the values are in light of what we're saying this morning about children obeying their parents and what I just said. But, you know, we have to also acknowledge the fact of what is in the heart of each child. The human heart is a rebel heart. The natural heart is a selfish heart. It's a self-centered heart. It's deceptive. Who can know it? Jeremiah tells us. It seeks its own way. It's set against God. Now, I've got to understand this. As I strike out down this road as a parent to seek, as I seek to get obedience from my children, and children have to understand this as they set out before God, Lord, teach me what it means to be obedient. Now, with that frame tacked around this, let's go forward and let's do it this way. I'm camping out just on this verse, but I'm going to bring what I see are the following issues out of obedience and what is being asked here. What's the most obvious? I think this comes through at the very beginning. Children must sit under the teaching of the Word of God. Where did I get that? Paul wrote this letter to the Colossian church. And to whom is this addressed? Children. What may we assume, safely assume, that they were in the audience listening to the reading and exposition of this letter, just as I'm looking at children in homes who are looking at me and listening right at the moment. That is, they are there, they're responsible to God and to their parents. They're responsible beings. So I have sought to draw attention to several things with this, what I think is the obvious. Maybe it's not obvious, but let's look at it. Children, by addressing children, they are treated as responsible to God and their parents. And we can then draw two, I think, conclusions from this. That it means that the home and the congregation or church life ought to be truth centers. There must be an environment of truth in the home and in the church so that children will understand what it means to obey. This is the village. This is the village. The village is the home and the network that's created in the local assembly. Now, this isn't simply something in the New Testament. This is consistent with the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. So what does this say to us about parents and children, children in the congregation? We'd better be sure that our church life is a life that is alive with truth-telling. I mean by that the communication of God's Word, and young people ought to be in the services of the church. I want to be quite frank with you as to what a pattern I've seen happen, and it's always been there to some extent, but I've seen it increase. Parents seem to be giving their children much more latitude in decision-making on whether they attend church than they used to be. I've noticed that. And I'm not here to judge hearts and why this is going on. Sometimes parents have reasons that are legitimate reasons, so don't misunderstand me. But I'm talking to the parents at this moment, that are your children, those in your home, and we're about to go into the Word and define it here in a minute. I haven't done that yet. But those who are in the home, who are responsible to you, are you providing the leadership for them so that they, as you as a family, that they can see you and that you can see them experiencing, taking in truth, and learning the significance of obedience and whatever the whole counsel of God is communicating. Are you seeing to that? Or are you allowing your children, middle schoolers, teenagers, how much slack are you cutting them in the name of trying to keep them your buddies, your friends? Some parents have that idea that they want... the worst thing imaginable is that their children could be just a little bit put out with them. Well, I'll tell you something more serious than that. It's for them to become adults and then to regret that you did not do what was best for them. That would be far more serious than whether you have a buddy-buddy relationship with them. Now, I've put the two words here. They're not original with me. Maybe they will help to summarize this. Roots and wings. This is what you want to give to your children. Roots and wings, roots down deep into God's Word and who He is and what He wants of us, and wings so that they can learn how to use what they are taught to increasingly live out a life not dependent on you as parents, dependent on God and ready for this world to live in it as responsible, God-honoring adults who will reflect the glory of God. That's where you want to go. But now let's go to the next principle. That one, I hope, was on the surface and clear. Surely this one is. Secondly, children are supposed to do what their parents say unless they're told to do something. It would be disobedience to God. I've just tried to summarize what I think is essentially bound up in this word, obey. The word obey is used to... Let me tell you a little bit about the word. Break it down for a minute. It comes from two words. The word is hupakuo. Hupakuo comes from two words. A word hupo, H-U-P-O, which means under. Akuo means to hear. It was used originally to describe someone who'd hear a knock at the door. And you would hear, under, come. And you would respond. Listen, and the word means to listen and follow instructions. Nothing fancy there. This is what he's saying with this word. It's an imperative. It's a command. So it's intended for the young people, the children in the home, to hear this and to do this. And it's a present tense as well. It's saying this goes the way it ought to be until you're out on your own. So children are under the authority of the living Christ in their homes to please Him, to do what their parents say, and so, as a result, please Him. This word, I thought I would track this word, obey, and what I found was interesting. The word that's used in the New Testament is used overwhelmingly in the following context, and I've summarized it in a sentence. And this leads me to the point that I'm attempting brushing by here. That it is used with special reference to one's submission to Christ, the gospel, and apostolic teaching. You find it through the Acts and through the Gospels. First places you see it in the Gospels would be the way in which the disciples, the way they used it, when they were with the Lord on the sea and the storm, and the Lord quailed the storm. And what did they say? They said, "What kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So when Paul lifts this word and uses it in this setting here in Colossians, it has that adornment. It has that, it's garnished with that background. It ultimately comes out of this whole, this thought pattern or response that I am to be submissive to God, and this is expressed in submitting and obeying to my parents. So, do we have this? Now, I have one qualification here which we need to stop and make. You notice that I said that children are to obey their parents unless they are told to do something that would be disobedient to God. A couple of examples. Would that help? Parents would not want to ask their children to lie on their behalf. To tell a lie, to say, "Well, Daddy, it's for you. Tell him I'm not here." Ooh. You would tell your child to lie for you? "Dad, he hit me." Well, you go right out there and you hit him back. Is that biblical problem solving? Oh, I know that's the John Wayne way. maybe, Dad, you've been Maybe we've been watching too many Westerns. We've been watching too many Clint Eastwood movies. Now, what is the way to handle the wisdom to give to a child and how they should handle when they're hit? Just to hit back? Or what about this? Biological dad who's divorced mom, and children don't like biological dad. They don't like him. He divorced mom, and have they ever got something in their craw about that? They are ticked at their real dad. Real dad wants them to call him from time to time and talk to them. They don't want to. Mom, if we got to call dad, we don't want to talk to him. You don't need to. You don't want to. You just do what you feel like doing. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Seems to me that our Lord said something about love your enemies. What's loving your enemies? Loving your enemies is that you do for other people what's best for them, without regard to how you may feel. See, we got to do some biblical thinking, don't we, parents? Aren't we right in the middle of this? And when we want our children to be obedient, we'd better be sure that we're not asking them to do things that would put them into disobedience with God's Word. And then do we ever get a tangle, a lot of knots in their life that are going to have to be undone? Well, let's go further. There's another principle that comes out. Would this one be clear to you? Seems to me it would be, in view of what I know about obedience and why God wants us to be obedient to Him. It's this, that God uses a child's obedience to his parents to protect him from dangers. This is an expression of God's love. It certainly is for us. Obey God, why? Because God loves us. He knows what's best for us. Parents should therefore understand this, and children as well, that obedience is here for the purpose of protection. It's fences that are there. Listen, you need to do your homework before you watch television. Is anything wrong with asking that? Is anything morally wrong with watching TV? May not be. What's going on here? The parent is trying to teach the child self-discipline. That is, you do the things that you're supposed to do before you do the things that you just feel like doing. So that's protection. Believe me, that is. That is, your child then grows and matures and comes into adult life. They learn that, you know, you do the things you're supposed to do first. And then you can, the things that you really feel like you want to do. You don't just, you delay your gratification. That's one way. Curfews. Are they unreasonable? Oh, I don't think so. Why is it? It's protection. Let me tell you, do I have the ears of my friends, especially in junior high, senior high? You know, when mom or dad say, we want you in tonight at 10:30. And then when you're with some buddies, and they're telling you, hey, we got something exciting cooked up tonight. I'll tell you what can really get you off the hook. Now, mom and dad told me I needed to be in. I've got to. Maybe you don't have all the courage you need to just say, I don't want to go there because of all I know that's going to go on and I need to go home. Well, mom and dad have gone to bat for you. They put up a fence already for you. You thank God for that. Thank God if you've got parents who've got that kind of foresight and they're not letting you roam all over the place. That bothered me when I was a young man. I saw kids walking up and down the street at all hours. And, boy, what a life. These guys they didn't even have to ask. Wander all over the neighborhood. It seemed like my parents wanted to always know where I was, what I was doing. They trying to control my life? Well, I'm telling you this. I'm thankful that I had those who were over me who were concerned enough about me to want to know where I was and what I was doing for protection's sake, immediate protection. Things like time to go to bed and the food you ought to eat and washing your hands and going off with a stranger without a parent's permission. Those are protections. And it's so designed that way by God. That's the meaning of it. You know, Beth could tell you a story about what it means to be protected by immediate obedience. They got out of the car in the garage one day. And Beth's dad said to her, before they even out of the garage, "Beth, don't move." Now, she had learned obedience from the first command. Hey, that's kind of obedience you want, first time. So she froze. Whew, good thing she did. Old black and white kitty cat had come into the garage, Pepe Le Pew. A skunk had come into the garage. And she, by one step that she was taking in that direction, would have stirred it up. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of skunks in life. There are a lot of skunks in life. And God has given the principle of obedience and authority, obedience in response to authority, for your protection. And you don't need to know all the reasons either. You don't need to know all the reasons. It can save your life. It can save you from smelling bad too. But God has set obedience, the obedience of children, in place because it's His way of preparing children for adult life. God knows what He's doing. This is why He's laid down this principle. You know, the book of Proverbs is just loaded with hundreds of specific directions. And how are they framed? If you have any idea about Proverbs, you ought to have this idea. My son, my daughter, listen to me. You see how often that occurs in Proverbs. You know that is why Proverbs was written? To prepare the youth in Israel for their adult life. Talk about covering all the bases. You remember our study in Proverbs 20 we did, was it last year? We saw just in that one chapter alone 28 specific directives on life, about life, getting ready for life. So obedience, listening to your parents and following their instruction is to get you ready for adult life. It's necessary to learn respect for authority. That when you learn how important it is to be respectful of authority, when that policeman pulls you over for exceeding the speed limit, and you know to say, "Yes, sir," or "Yes, ma'am," and you respond to them as you've learned to respond to your parents, and they said, "You know how fast you were going?" You don't sit there and start trying to negotiate and argue them down and challenging their authority. You see, you learn respect for authority in the home. It gets you ready for adult life, for your job. You know, there's some people that can't hold jobs down for this reason. They can't handle authority. They didn't learn it in their home. And when they get a boss, a foreman, or somebody to whom they're responsible, and they're told to do something they don't like to do, they quit. They mouth off. God has put obedience as the directive for children in their home to get them ready for adult life. God wants that process to be one of learning about financial responsibilities. Parents have rules and should have directions, and you should follow those, young people, with regard to finances. If your parents say, "You need to be here tonight," let's take a teenager. "Oh, but I got a book report, or I don't feel like it. I want to stay home and whatever." Now, they may not say that, but you know, we think it would be very wise for you. As a matter of fact, we're asking, you need to be at this seminar on finances tonight, tomorrow night. "Well, I got other things." "What other things?" "Well, maybe you've got something legitimate. Maybe you've got to go in for an appendectomy." "All right." "Right. Maybe so." But to learn how to handle finances, That's what parents are there for. Now, of course, obviously there's an assumption here. Parents have to have the sense to understand how to get their young people ready for life. But whether it's financial obligations, instructing them in the consequences of sin, controlling the tongue, honesty, alcohol and drugs, dealing with procrastination, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Hundreds and hundreds of the finer points of God's law, which is there to direct us and get us ready for a responsible, God-honoring life as an adult. That's why we are to learn obedience in the home. Let's go to another dimension of this. This one is going to take us into some real touchy territory. It's the fifth implication I see of the command for obedience. It is this, that disobedience to one's parents may be done for a variety of wrong reasons. Let's walk through some of those wrong reasons. Well, we have to start with this one, don't we? Sure we do. It just is defiance of authority. No! I'm not! Whoa, is that ever a felony? That would have been a felony in our home. I think we cut Miriam and Eric a lot of slack. We believed in roots and wings. We didn't want to try to control their lives. We wanted them to learn to be independent, be out on their own. I think they'll vouch for this. Ask them. We're fair game. But to defy authority, to say no, and by tone of voice, by body language, we got to deal with this. We can't overlook that. Laugh at it. So it can be that. Just this command, whatever it is, conflicts with your desires and your wants. It may be done to get attention. That can happen. The old heart's deceitful. It's a perverted way to get it. But some want to get attention. Sometimes you'll find this popping up in the second and third borners in the home. Those who are on down the line are embedded in maybe the midst of four or five siblings, and they don't think they're getting enough attention, so they'll just try Operation Rebel. And that won't cut it. You're asking for some trouble. Serious trouble. We'll go to that in a minute. But by negligence, that's another way. This one's a little more difficult to handle as a parent. You could work out like this. You remember what I said at the outset, the opening one of the stories? You say, you need to do your homework before you go over to Allison's tonight. Instead, they wash the dishes or cut the grass. And they don't do the homework. Well, what do you do with that as a parent? Is that obedience? No, it's disobedience. That's a little harder to handle. But you remember what the Lord said to Saul? Saul did that kind of thing. And Saul, it's a record of this, is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, where God told Saul, after he had disobeyed him, but had done so in the name of sacrifice, God said to him, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. That's what God said he wants. I want obedience. So negligence, being irresponsible, allowing other things to come first. Fourthly, because of a failure of agreement of parents, sometimes young people will use this device, excuse. That is, when you have parents who have different standards. Let's say dad's a real softy and mom is more tough. She sticks to her guns, and dad, he's willing to, all right. He gives in to, caves into feelings real fast. It doesn't take long for children to learn how to play the angles on this. This is no excuse. If, young person, listen, if you do have parents that have different standards, as difficult as that is, and that's not the way it's supposed to be, this can't be an excuse for your disobedience. To play one off against the other, or to do what dad allows, but yet at the same time, to be displeasing mother. In the fifth place, disobedience can take place because of prejudice against one's parents. You don't know my parents. Well, tell me more. Are you saying you have a right to be disobedient because your parents are not the kind of people that you really like? This comes up often in the mixed home, the blended home, where it's a hers, mine, and ours. And so you don't have some of these loyalties that would naturally be there because of being in the home with one's biological parents. And so here is dad who's not my biological dad. Well, I don't like him. Maybe he contributed to the breakup of the marriage. Maybe. So there can be that resentment. Well, I owe him one. Now, I owe him one all the time. That kind of revenge, vindictiveness that can come up in the heart and be the occasion for repetitive disobedience. It's got to be handled. And this is where if you are in a home where there is a blend, that you can't have one standard for those that are your biological children and those which are not your biological. You can't have two standards. You're headed for disaster. It's got to be consistent, loving, obedience in all relationships. Another way is because one's parents are hypocrites. That can be used as an excuse for disobedience. I don't have to do what you say because you don't do what the preacher says. Now, this probably will come out more when they get up to be teens, when they've learned how to debate a little better, and they've gotten some fuel or fodder for their arguments, and so they see some real contradictions in what their parents are asking them to do, and what the way their parents live. Now that's difficult. I grant it. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You get this confusing. Mom and dad sit there all prim and proper on Sunday, and they come with social regularity. But they go out, and there is this enormous gap. I mean, a conspicuous gap between what truth that comes across consistently in the way they live. It's not coming through. So a child may say, "Hey, hypocrites, I don't do what they say." Oh, yes, you do. Because God is holding you responsible as ultimately an act of submission to Him. God will take care of your parents. You let Him take care of them. That's not your job. And certainly not disobedience because of their inconsistencies. And what parent is not going to be inconsistent at some point or other? We're not talking here about having perfect parents and you can obey if they're perfect. Nobody, no child would ever obey. In the next place, because I wouldn't be accepted by my friends. My friends don't obey their parents. Yeah, they get away with it. Oh, it just gives me a little bit of room here. What do I have to? Or maybe to be accepted among your friends, this is sort of a little community standard, you've got to show a little arrogance and a little challenge to their authority so that you fit in. Hey, you're one of us, you know. Hey, give me five. You're not going to let them tell you what to do. Yeah, well, those aren't your friends in the first place. Those are your enemies. To be supporting arrogance and rebellion. And I know there's a lot of it out there. And there are a lot of those so-called friends of yours who are willing to work with you in conspiracies to get you around obedience to your parents. Oh, we know it's going on. We know it's going on. You don't think these adults know what... There are things I know that have gone on in the lives of the young people of this church that they don't know that I know they've gone on. Telling mom and dad, I'm going over to so-and-so's house tonight. You don't go there. Oh, you show up, and then you go somewhere else. And this kind of thing. Well, let's go to the last. Because I don't believe they mean what they say. That could be an excuse for disobedience. But they aren't consistent. Again, obedience is not based on the consistency and the character of the one who is telling you what to do. It's based upon a responsibility to God. submission to Him that God holds us responsible for. Now let's go quickly in conclusion to the two final issues. Number 6, obedience to one's parents is evidence that you're refusing to submit to God's authority. You've been hearing me say it. Arrogance, that's what it is. It's the fist in the face of God. Listen to this warning, though, in Proverbs 30 and verse 11. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. That is one of four examples in Proverbs 30, verses 11 through 15, of arrogance. Arrogance. Pride. What about this one? Proverbs 30 and 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Whoa, I guess better be obedient. You are under God's judgment if you refuse to be obedient to your parents, because it's a refusal to be obedient to God. God's going to come looking for you. And you are identifying with some very ugly, ugly people in the Bible, and you are putting your fist in God's face. You know what the penalty was in the Old Testament for defying parental authority, being a father smiter and a mother smiter? It was the rock pile. The parents turned you over, the father, the head of the home, turned you over to the elders, and if you were an incorrigible, you wouldn't obey. You couldn't say, one of those deals where you can't live here under these rules, what are you going to do? Well, in Israel, this is what they did. You go to the elders made a judgment in the matter. If you were the incorrigible, the refusal to be obedient, it was stoning by death. That's how serious it was. That's how God saw how important it is for there to be family cohesiveness and respect for authority and obedience. You don't have that, everything breaks down. If you don't believe that, just look at our society. You see where it's broken down. And that's the reason, one of the reasons, major reasons. Obedience to one's parents is a way to please God. He concludes this by saying, children, be obedient to parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That it is ultimately your responsibility in light of what Jesus said in Luke 14 and 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and... Wait a minute. Did I misread that? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother... Whoa. What's this? Your love for Christ must exceed that of your love for your parents. And if it does, you will be obedient. You see, it's ultimately your relationship to Christ, your sense of duty and love. It's the way you show your love for God to obey your parents. Lord, I love you, and I'm having a hard time with some of their commands and what they want, but Lord, I love you, and I want to be obedient. Help me. Help me. Maybe you need to go to your parents if you think some of the commands are unreasonable. But remember, when you do, the motivation is because you love God. And you're learning how to walk. I refer you here back to Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Pleasing Him is learning how to walk. And what you want to be able to do when you get out of home and you're on your own is, you know what you want to be able to do? You want to know how to walk. Walk in the sense of, what does it mean to walk before God? I can think of a better way to come out of a home than to have that experience. Well, let's just do a little inventory at this moment. Do you need to ask God, young people? Do you need to ask God to forgive you? Parents? Maybe you're having a particular, it's a battle. One of your children or more. Maybe you realize that you have just been letting too much go on and it's simply just raw disobedience. And you and your spouse need to get together alone and you need to go back to the drawing board and get before God and get on your knees and say, Lord, we've become inconsistent. We're allowing disobedience to take place here in the name of a lot of things, and we need your help, and we want you to help us to know how to go to our children. And then you sit down with your children and you say, we're going to ask that you would forgive us. We have allowed disobedience to go on in this way and this way, and let's try to work together. And next Sunday, fathers and mothers are going to be here to learn the ways in which they can exasperate their children. So the children maybe have some legitimate questions here. But you don't know my parents. All right, we parents are going to be really put on the hot seat when we look at verse 21. And that's all we're going to do, Lord willing, next Sunday. So let's pray before we close. With our heads bowed, is there some work that has to be done in this area of obedience? Maybe some confession, some repentance. You're still in the home. You're under the authority of your parents, my dear friend. Do you need to ask the Lord to forgive you? You've been telling your parents that you're doing one thing, but you're doing something else. You found ways that you can disobey them, and they don't know you're disobeying them. You go to the Lord and ask His forgiveness, and then go to your parents and ask their forgiveness. Moms and dads, maybe there's some work that you need to do. But you've not been consistent enough in expecting obedience. Ask the Lord to do a new work in your heart. Make the changes. God, give us homes that will clearly reflect your presence. The presence of Christ, who was obedient in all ways, at all points, the servant, and was obedient even to death for us. Oh God, grant us the grace that kind of obedience would be seen and known in our lives, our attitudes. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We've got some very important announcements that we need to make. Please turn up your hearing aid.